I've got someone on now that we all know in Liverpool now, and we kind of know her for the wrong reasons, but also the right reasons, if that makes sense. In 2012, she lost her son in a coach accident. He was leaving festival September, and he was tragically killed. Since then, Fran Malloy has been on a mission to change a law. She's done that. She succeeded, and that law changes on Monday, the 1st of February. Fran, I'm made up to see you. I'm made up with this news as well. I feel like I've lived through this in these past few years with you, and I know this news won't make it any easier for you, will it? But
no.
Surely it will make it easier for many other people that could be in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, some people have said to me, you know, you're going to celebrate the day. Clearly, you know, it's never going to, I couldn't, it's not a celebration. We did plan to mark the day, if you like, because it's so many people, as you say, Joe, you've been here from day one. I mean, even before the campaign, you were there when we were promoting Michael's song. So you've kind of been on this journey with me pretty much since I lost Michael. And so we did plan to do something, and which we can't do now because of the pandemic and being in lockdown. So I think, you know, it's never going to get easier, as you keep saying, you know, it can't. It's, in fact, I'm really going to struggle. I've struggled a bit with this, and I've struggled a bit more today than I do on other days. And I can imagine that by the time I get to Monday, it's going to be really, really tough, because what it will do to me is just remind me of why I did it, and the fact that Michael's not here. The fact that I know I'm not going to have to ever look another parent in the eye like I had to in Bristol with the woman who also lost her daughter in a crash because of old tyres. That, yeah, definitely. It's from that reason, you know, that's all I ever want. That was my worst nightmare, having to go to Bristol and face another mother, knowing it didn't need to happen. It was something I dreaded throughout the whole campaign. And when it actually happened, I thought, I felt like I was being punished myself all over again, you know? So I thought, my God, I'm cursed, you know? This is exactly what I didn't want to happen. So now I know that if it happens again, and it shouldn't happen again, it's now illegal, you know? It's not just somebody just kind of getting a fine, or actually in the case of what happened to Michael, they didn't even get a fine for that because it was legal, you know? So I think, yeah, it will make a massive difference to me knowing that I've done everything we possibly can. And, you know, I'm saying I, but it, actually it was a we. It was a massive, massive joint effort. I mean, the people that got behind this, incredible. And really, apart from the government itself, nobody stood up and said, well, that's not a good idea. You know, that's something that doesn't need to happen. Everybody was behind it. So, yeah, it's been an incredible journey.
The Tired campaign, Fran, is just everyone knows about it now. And as you said, you know, the teams at Agent Marketing have got behind it. The city has really embraced it as well. And you've kind of spread that message across the UK. Just talk us through the actual campaign, how it started, and your kind of your legal battle with the government.
It started, actually, the campaign itself started in 2013. So it was a year after we lost Michael. And at the inquest is when we heard about the tyre. And, you know, I'm kind of now, I can feel my chest tighten every time I think of that inquest and hearing the tyre was 20 years old, it's legal, trying to work it all out in my head. It was, I couldn't get my head around it. You know, Joe, who, you know, my eldest son, I mean, he was nearly hysterical. He was going, it's older than Michael, it can't be legal. But so we had to go through two days of a hearing, knowing at the end it was going to be accidental death because this tyre was legal. I then approached Maria Eagle, who is my local MP, happened to be the Shadow Transport Secretary at the time. And she said, right, we'll go and see Patrick McLaughlin, who's Transport Secretary, and, you know, we'll put this to him. This is a massive loophole in the law. We've got a solution. It doesn't cost the government anything. It simply is you ban tyres over a certain age, and it's done at MOT. So it's not something the government have to spend millions of pounds on to implement. So we went, we took the expert witness from the inquest with us, I went really genuinely expecting Patrick McLaughlin to go, this is a loophole. Yeah, it needs to be closed down. And, you know, we're going to start the process of doing that. I kind of guessed when I walked in the room, Jay, because I walked in and there was a room, like a board table full of people and then people sitting behind. I thought, wow, all these people, you know, just for me coming and to talk about this. So I knew then I was ruffling feathers. And we came away from that. And of course, all he did was put out guidance. So it started from then. Steve Rotherham then took over and he led a private members bill. And that got rejected in Parliament the first time round. We had to wait for a general election. And so we had to start the process all over again. We put in another private members bill, and which was successful at the first reading. And then it just got rejected at every single, I mean, 8 times it got rejected. But in between this, in the early days, I was doing this pretty much on my own with the support of like the media, like yourself and other people who were behind me. But I was the campaign really calling in on people. I'd sit on my phone literally weekends and go through every MP in the country's Twitter account. I mean, everyone. And I would tweet them and just spend the whole day doing that. Writing to people, you know, using every network I could to try and get to people. And then the City Council here in Liverpool led a motion to say that we are going to back this, you know, we're going to write to government. And that was led by Ros Gladden at the time. And then it went through again under Anne O'Byrne. So, you know, Liverpool made a stand and said, right, we're going to do this and we want every other council to do it. So we started a bit of a momentum with that. And then Paul Corcoran approached me from agent and said, look, you know, this has become so big now. We'll set up a campaign. We'll do it. We'll put the website together. We'll do the social media. This wasn't, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was just doing what I could. But so they kind of took it over and launched Tired in 2015. We did a big launch. And on that day, National Express Coaches, you know, contacted us and said, we want to back you. So again, a big turning point for us, because one of the arguments I'd had back is that, you know, the industry were pushing back and it was going to cause them financial hardship. And, you know, there were silly arguments coming back to me. And then National Express Coaches said, no, we're the biggest coach operation in the country. Actually, we wouldn't have tyres that old on our vehicles anyway, and neither should anybody else. So we're going to back you. And then, you know, the big green coach company and a couple of that, they all started to follow. I think with every rejection, what happened was we gained momentum, and because it's my son and I'm a mum, ultimately, every time they rejected it, as painful as it was, I came back even more determined. You know, the frustration, the anger in me that they kept pushing this back and back, thinking that we'd just go away or, you know, somehow they would be able to just ignore us. And you know, that determination drove me on. And then people just kept getting involved. You know, we drew lots and lots of attention. You know, Jodie Comer, kind of, she got a massive following behind it for us. And so we just kept going and going. And I think eventually, you know, there was Mike Smith from Open Media, and he put stuff all over his screens. He just got the screens outside Old Trafford, and Liverpool, Man U were playing. And Jesse Norman, who was the transport secretary at the time, went the match, and all he had up on the screens was Tired. And Jesse Norman said to me, I just felt like I couldn't get away from it. I was thinking they're everywhere, you know. And he couldn't believe himself, the power. He was saying, my God, you know, the network that they've got, which just kept growing. So sadly, you know, they did the big U-turn, as you know, last year, the year before, because of the M5 crash where 5 more people died. And they knew then that this was a serious problem, and it had happened again. And again, the guy who was driving the truck with the old tyre, he walked away without a mark on him, and he walked away scot-free, really, even though that vehicle had had an MOT and had a warning on that tyre. It wasn't illegal. So they knew, I think then they knew this was, you know, really going to be serious. So there was a massive U-turn. You were involved. You remember, we all kind of, on the day, it came from nowhere, we thought, until we found out what had happened. So I think from that point on, we've met with the government. I mean, every meeting, you know, I should write a book about it, really. You go into a meeting and you go through all of these arguments that were just, you know, we would listen. And I'd have to keep my composure, given that I'm sitting there talking about Michael and listening to absolute nonsense about why they couldn't do it or the delays. And yeah, they did everything in their power, I think, to block it. But I think the power of the campaign, they just couldn't get away from it, which is absolutely thanks to everybody who got involved, because that momentum was incredible.
And that is what has pushed through the law changing from Monday 1st of February. It will be illegal to have a tyre over the age of 10 years on these vehicles. Fran, you know, you're telling me that story. Do you realise yourself, I know how humble you are and I know you hate anything like this, how incredible you've done. You know, when you actually hear the full story since Michael's death of how you fought the law, the government, and changed it, do you know how incredible that is?
Do you know, I suppose I see it through different eyes. Do you know, I've just been speaking to my partner, Joe, about this, that, no, I probably don't see that in myself. I kind of, what I see is, I'm coming at it from the eyes of a mum. And obviously a mum who's grieving and will grieve for the rest of her life. So for me, it's been purely on the basis of the determination to never, ever want this to happen again. As I said, my worst nightmare came true when I did have to face somebody else. So I don't see it like that. You see, you know, for me, it was something that I just had to do. And I'm glad that we've done it together. I know I led it, but it was the journey. I couldn't have got on this journey without the people who were behind me, the support I've had. You've seen me in my darkest days. You know, we'll never forget being in Radio City Tower when we played Michael's song. I mean, I still remember that. Gives me goosebumps now, you know, and our Joe. And yeah, so you have literally been on the whole journey, haven't you, with me? So,
you know what?
Yeah, I don't really see it as being as much about me. It's more about Michael, Kerry and Colin and all the people that kind of did it with me.
It's funny you mentioned the song Rise and Fall. There's been a couple of times, and you know when you've got YouTube on and you're flicking through videos and that just comes on automatically as I'm doing my work. It's such a beautiful, poignant song.
I know.
It will always remind me of you. It will obviously always remind me of Michael. That song really did kind of do something, though, didn't it? Special. It made people stop and realise what had happened to Michael.
Yeah, it did. I mean, that was Joe, as you remember. It was him that decided to do that. It probably, I at the time just didn't have the wherewithal to even consider anything like that. I was just so broken. And I remember him ringing me. I was still in Surrey and waiting to bring Michael home with me. And Joe was saying to me, he cannot be remembered as someone who died in a crash. He was too big. Joe always says to me, he's a fully formed human, our Michael, at such a young age, you know, and he just can't, he's got to be remembered for who he was. And then he got in touch with Rob DeBank, and then I know he made contact with you and others, and I couldn't believe what he'd done, you know. So the song, I think it did, because what it did was realise that this was somebody really young, his whole life ahead of him, I'm going to get really, you know, who had a real future. And, you know, it gave us a chance to show just how tragic this was, and it just didn't need to. I think when it was bad enough, but when we found out a year later that it didn't even need to happen, I think that momentum had already, we'd gained that because of releasing his song. So the song actually led us into the campaign in a big way, to be fair, Jay. And so it was one of the most, it was a good thing that he did for his son, his brother and his memory. But Yeah.
Everyone should play that song on Monday. You know, we're going to put it out. It's a good idea. Let's get our radio stations and everyone playing Rise and Fall. And if you haven't listened to it, just Google it on YouTube because it is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
You know, it kind of, that message shines through instantly. You've got the bench, Michael's bench, Fran, on campaign.
Yeah.
I sent you a picture of it the other week. I can't believe how well kept it is. As well, and you must think this sometimes, you know, people really respect it as well. You know,
they do.
Hanging about there in Camp Hill.
Yeah.
And people do, and everyone knows it now too.
Everybody. Do you know, we at Christmas, we put loads of stuff there. It's got lanterns on it, and I love it. You know, when it first was put there, I kind of had in mind it was all going to be really neat and tidy and just, but people just started to add things to it. And do you know, Jay, I love the way it's got all these memories on it, and his friends and others have left little mementums that, you know, when they go somewhere, they come back and they put something on his bench, or, you know, anything that a couple of his friends have married, and, you know, they've taken like bouquets there, or it's just incredible what people do. We are going to get a plaque eventually. We plan to do this for the first, but because of lockdown, we haven't been able to get anyone out to come and look at it and do it with us. To say this is what happened. A guy stopped me a couple of weeks ago and said, can you tell me what happened? Who is he? And I started to explain. And he said, I pass here all the time. I see lots of people passing, but there's nothing to say what happened to him. And I said, we are planning to do that, but we didn't want to do that until we changed this law. So we are going to put something up for Tired, and that, you know, the law was changed in his name. And we'll do that as soon as we can after the lockdown. I mean, that's where I'm going to be on Monday. I've got to go to work on Monday. It's going to be tough, but, you know, I've got to go to work. So as soon as I can, I'm going to head straight up to the bench, and we can't gather there like we planned anymore, but, you know, I'm sure a couple of people will possibly visit the bench that day. So, yeah, it's a beautiful, it's in a beautiful spot. You know, we used to do that with the birds. I'll share this lonely view, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he always like used that as a bit of a strapline. And I feel like that's what that bench with the birds, I'll share this lonely view. Sometimes I sit there and I look and I think, it's almost like he guided us there in some way, you know.
Beautiful, Fran. And if you haven't been and you're going for a little daily walk, just go to Camp Hill and you'll see exactly what we mean. Fran, just finally, it's a massive day on Monday. This, in my opinion, is all down to you, your drive, your passion for this campaign. For anyone that's watching now that is struggling, maybe someone who's lost a child, maybe someone who's just dealing with what's happening in the world right now and struggling with that, you never say and you never realise it, and I know we're friends and we spoke about this, how strong you actually are. What advice would you give to somebody listening who's going through whatever emotion right now?
Yeah, I think, for me, the thing that kind of really helped me on in some ways was speaking to other people, sharing it. You know, that feeling, because you feel so alone. I mean, that is the worst feeling. And I feel alone even in a crowded room. And this part of me will always feel alone because this is very personal to me. He's my child. I think when I started to open up, you know, I was fortunate. Other mums who'd lost children, they contacted me. And, you know, at first I didn't want to speak to anyone, but they were persistent. And, you know, I'm so glad they were. And eventually I realised that pain I felt and this feeling of going, I felt like I was going mad, that other people were experiencing the same thing. And it didn't feel quite as alone. And I do think, honestly, just picking up a phone, just sending a message. I get lots, Jay, all the time. People message me who are going through a really difficult time and say, I'm sorry, you know, I don't know where to go on. And I'd rather that happen than they didn't, particularly if you've lost a child, because that is, without question, the worst possible thing that can happen to anybody, any parent in life. So I think sharing it, speaking about it, writing it down. I mean, I also, you know, in the early days, I used to write to Michael all the time. I still do. I don't necessarily share it as much now. But and at that time, I started to write these things. I didn't use Facebook. I didn't use social media. And I didn't understand how it works. So when I'm writing stuff, I didn't realise, I mean, this sounds really naive, it was going to be shared with all these people. But when I seen the response from it, it was phenomenal. And the amount of people who said, thank you, you know, that's what I'm going through. And then they could share it. And I am in touch with so many people who've gone through a similar thing. And, you know, we just touch base now and then and say, you know, I'm struggling, just want to share it. But talking to somebody, sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger. It's easier to reach out. This is the good side of social media. It's a bit toxic at the moment. And, you know, I've come off it. I'm not on it a lot now. I use it really largely for work. But because I was finding it really, I couldn't cope with it. I couldn't cope with the way people were turning on each other. And I was thinking, my God, you know, we're in this situation and people are losing people. Everyone's isolated. And, you know, people were judging everyone. I just thought, oh my God, it's got toxic. But there is a positive side to it in that you can come together. Look at the campaign. And a shared experience is really important. And, you know, I think there's a lot of brave people out there at the moment saying, you know, I'm struggling and I'm going to share it. And you can see by the responses, it's so important. Human beings need to interact. This is why this whole situation is really difficult. But we're social animals, and we're all, some of us, you know, there are people I know who haven't seen anybody for months. They're just living alone. So, yeah, honestly, talk, share, even if it's a message. It doesn't have to be face-to-face. You don't even have to speak. You can just send a message, and it's powerful. It really is powerful. But definitely don't sit in silence. Don't.
Myself and you have threatened something for about 10 years now. Going to Glastonbury together.
Oh, no.
So I've managed to get the tickets, which is now next year. You need to do the same.
I'm going to. Oh, Jay, we are going to Glastonbury one way or another. I mean, the year I went, you didn't go. I've only been there once. But, we definitely have to do that. Yeah, that was an incredible experience, I have to say. I'm glad I did that. Yeah.
We'll be raising a glass to Michael while we're there, Fran. Fran,
okay.
You know, you've done incredible and you have saved lives going forward from the 1st of Feb. This law has changed, and that is down to the Tide campaign and Fran Malloy. Fran, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jake.